Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 23rd day of March 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading. He's in Indiana. They're headquartered in Bloomington, Illinois, but he's traveling in Iowa today. And a bit later in the program, we'll catch up with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, their ethanol plant there. As we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way today, we'll hear more about the Cuba trip that President Obama went on earlier in the week. Sherry Bustos from Illinois' 17th District, a Democrat, and the senior senator from Illinois, Dick Durbin, also a Democrat, will join us. A press conference excerpt from them over the noon hour on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hear the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for the day. May contract in the corn pit down a penny and a half, $3.685. The final trade, December at $3.86, down 1 3/4. The July down a penny and a half, by the way, at $3.73 1/4. May beans were off 5 cents, settled at $9.05 1/4. They went all the way to $9.12 1/2 for the day. July at $9.12 1/4, down 4 3/4. The August at 4 3/4 lower at 9.14 1/4. September soybeans at 9.14, down 4 3/4. November beans topped out today at 9.23 1/2, settled back at $9.17 1/4, down 4 1/4. Bean meal futures off a dime at 270.90. Bean oil at 33.36 on their settlement price, down 57 cents. Soft red winter wheat, the July contract, down 3 3/4 cents at $4.70 3/4. The hard red at 4.83 1/4, down 4 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures in the nearby contract at $135.75, down $1.35. June down $1.35 as well. Feeder cattle in the March at $161.37 1/2, 17 1/2 cents lower. The April at $155 1/5, down $1.80 for the feeder cattle. And lean hogs per 100 pounds, the April contract, $69.62 1/2, down 52 1/2 cents. The May at $78.42 1/2, down a nickel for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Tomorrow I'll be at the Good Food Festival and Conference in Chicago. We'll come to you live, actually live to tape, from the University of Illinois Chicago Forum just outside of downtown.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil, the May contract, $39.74 a barrel, $1.71 lower. April ethanol at $1.42 is up 3 4/10 cents. The price of a gallon of gasoline on the RBOB, that's the wholesale, at $1.44 8/10 is 4 8/10 cents lower. And diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.20 3/10 is down 4 9/10 cents. Natural gas, 7 2/10 lower at $1.79 1/10 cents. Dow Jones Industrial Average for the day at 17,399 is 105 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 96.065, up 0.421, and gold futures on the afternoon at $1,224.80, down $23.80. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high of 66 degrees. It'll be breezy out there on a south-southwest wind at 17 to 20. Showers are likely then this evening. Showers and thunderstorms, especially after 2 a.m., a low of 56 degrees, gusting to 26. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 80% overnight. Thursday showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. That'll come before 1 in the afternoon, then a chance of showers, cloudy and temperatures rising to 59 by the 9 a.m. And then they'll turn around and head back down to about 50 degrees during the day for tomorrow. Breezy with a south wind at 16 to 20 miles an hour. Turning to the north-northwest in the afternoon, winds gusting to 26. Chance of precipitation during the day at 70%. Tomorrow, cloudy, and will drop to a low tomorrow night of 30 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half
Agricultural
hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 23rd day of March. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Tommy Grassoffi is with us. He's from DeMont, Indiana, and Advanced Trading. Of course, they're headquartered in Bloomington. But this afternoon, Tommy's traveling, and he's in the great state of Iowa. Where are you today?
I'm in Iowa City. I had to make sure my cell phone reception would work for this call. And, you know, there's guys putting out in the fields working, actually, Todd.
You're at the home of the Hawkeyes. That's not a good thing. I guess that's the end of our conversation. Thanks so much, Tommy. I appreciate you being with us. Tell me about the business that you've been up to there in Iowa. You said you've got some farmers that have been out in the field. You made the trip when, and what did you see from Indiana to Iowa?
Well, you know, where do we? I went up to Wisconsin first, spent a few days with the family, and then over through Iowa. Saw a lot of field work. It kind of surprised me. Guys are anxious to get started. And we had a farmer meeting with a few banks that set up meetings for us. And, you know, Todd, it's the same theme overall is what's going on in ag? How do we get out of this? When to get better? You know, pretty much guys want a guy like us to walk in the room and tell them when a good day to sell is. And, you know, it's not exactly what we do. There's products in the market that can help a guy. I guess what's strange and challenging is that we're starting off under the cost of production for a lot of growers. And that's throwing up a lot of red flags. We've had several years of lower prices now. And depending on your talent and ability to market and also your talent and ability to grow the crop, right? So if you don't grow it, you won't have a lot to market. You know, it's put guys in an interesting situation. Mm-hmm. The other big, you know, we were at a meeting at a place that makes a implement dealer for John Deere, and that guy spent a lot of money on equipment, Todd, that they just can't get back. So that equipment value is taking a big hit with that famous farmer move that I don't want to pay taxes. And so I'm going to go spend the money for the end of the year. And that's really coming back to hurt guys.
When you take a look at what's been happening in Chicago the last several weeks and then put that into perspective of just today's market, what was the major driver for the afternoon and then maybe turn that around into the rally that you've seen over the last couple of weeks?
Sure. Well, you know, this afternoon, it was a really quiet day in grains. I watched the markets for hours from my laptop, and there wasn't even much of an opportunity to trade them. We just opened lower. We were up a little last night. We started settling lower, and we never came back. So grains didn't have a big story today. The bigger story was the outside. Big move in crude oil, a big move in RBOB, big move in the stock market. Or it's a medium move in the stock market. No need to be dramatic. But there's volatility hitting the outside markets. Definitely a big move in gold and silver and copper. And so really, if you put all the commodities up on your quote screen, there's a lot of red on the screen today, and I think that helped grab grains down. There's an overall sense of nervousness with what happened in Brussels. It doesn't look like this terrorism's going to stop. We're not even sure who is the enemy, right? And so I imagine it's on its way to America, and that just has the overall markets on edge. Going back to your second question, what's happened in beans the last few weeks in the overall markets? I think if you asked a farmer if corn and wheat rallied, they'd say, yeah, oh, yeah, corn and wheat have rallied. But when you look back at a chart, it really hasn't rallied. The one market that has rallied is the beans, and that started right as harvest was starting in South America, which means you have your largest amount of supply, and there's a lot of South America, there's a lot of unease and tension down there. And so, yeah, they grew a big bean crop. We have to get it out of there. But, you know, when someone in the world wants beans, there's no better, more reliable place to buy a soybean than the United States of America. And it may be 20 cents higher, but if you want them and you want them on time, we'll get them to you. And I really do believe we grow a great product here. And with all the unrest and both politically and everything else in the world, even though Brazil can grow them, they still have their problems down there.
What are you thinking about money flow in the marketplace? There's been so much of it over the last decade. Has it dwindled, and where does it go today?
That's an interesting question. I would tell you from the bottom of my heart, as someone who's a member of the Board of Trade, that the opportunity to make money trading has dwindled. A full seat at the Board of Trade traded $125,000. I sold my full seat at the Board of Trade a couple years ago for $291,000, and I thought I might have been foolish selling it then. And so a full seat at the exchange, when you think about the Board of Trade or the Merck, that full seat represents the opportunity to be a member of the exchange and trade grains at a discounted price. I can still do that. I just do it as a lessee. And then I own a couple smaller seats. And so when you see seats at exchanges coming down in price, the full seat was trading $200,000 a few weeks ago. Now it's $125,000. It shows that there's not a lot of money to be made. Not only are farmer customers who are struggling, but traders and speculators, that the commodity markets have come off one of the greatest runs ever, and money's looking for a home. And so it's not like people aren't going to trade commodities. If you want a positive, optimistic story, go look at a lumber chart. Google lumber, look at lumber, and lumber has went from lower 200s to 300 in just a few weeks. And so these commodities, when someone wants to put some money and allocate money towards a commodity going up, they can really go up quickly. And I think if there's one surprise that'll catch people, it's just how vicious a short covering rally can be. We've seen it in crude oil recently from 27 up to 42. We've seen it in the Dow Jones rally in 2,000 points. We haven't seen it in corn. We got a little taste of it in beans. And even though, yes, we're in a global bear market, that doesn't mean we can't go up. And as a person who manages risk for farmers all across the country, Todd, I get the chance to travel. I meet some of the greatest producers in the world. But I'm just trying to educate them on how to keep that upside open. I know times are tough, but these markets can rally. And there's things that are going to happen this year that no matter how many smart people you interview on your show, there's just the things that you can't predict, whether it be a 9/11 event, a currency event, a drought. Things happen to move markets, and those are your opportunities now.
You're not convinced that the natural long that the farmer has with grain and oil seeds isn't enough?
Well, there is a natural long that's always coming in. But when these funds take the wrong side and get too aggressive, when they cover, it creates a wonderful opportunity. The scariest thing I'm seeing about the natural long, Todd, is that the amount of old crop bushels. When I traveled to North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, all those states had record or close to record yield. There's a lot of guys sitting on old crop who, for the first time in years, are shocked that we didn't have that spring rally. And the basis isn't getting much better. It's actually getting worse in areas. The difference between the cash market, the futures in Chicago, and your local cash market. And so I am very concerned for those old crop bushels. The natural long that the farmer has is scary. The other thing that's not scary is that there's 7 billion people in the world who love taking $3.50 corn and turning it into items, whether it be ethanol or protein in animals or something. And so we are building up a demand. The last 3-4 weeks, we've had a lot better demand in corn exports. And so demand's creepy. You can't quite see it always when it's happening. And then you look back 6 months later and say, you know what? We're using more grain. We're grinding a lot of corn for ethanol. Maybe things aren't as bad as I had thought.
Hey, Tommy, safe travels across to Iowa and getting back home.
Thank you for the time. I love being on the show. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Grisafi, he is with Advanced Trading and located in DeMott, Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Earlier in the day, over the noon hour, in fact, Sherry Bustos, who's a representative from the 17th District here in the state of Illinois, that stretches from Peoria to Moline, along with Senator Dick Durbin, held a joint press conference related to the Cuba trip. Both were on earlier in the week, along with President Obama. They wanted to talk about trade relations and agriculture. Here's an unedited excerpt of that press conference and their prepared remarks.
Hello, this is Dick Durbin. I'm in Chicago, arriving this morning from Washington. I was with Congressman Bustos and a number of members of the Illinois delegation accompanying the president for his historic visit to Cuba over the weekend. I'll make a few observations and turn it over to Congressman Bustos, who is on the call, and then we'll open it to any questions that you might have. This was a change in American foreign policy that is long overdue. 50 years of our foreign policy with Cuba has not resulted in a more open Cuba or a better relationship with the United States. What the president has suggested is a new dawn, a new era, and a new approach. His speech yesterday, which was broadcast live to the Cuban people, was an honest speech. He talked about honestly spoke of those things that bring us together, but he was honest about those things that divide us. There are certain human values and civil rights in Cuba that are still not being honored, and the president was very open about those. But he also talked about bringing together our country with Cuba for a new relationship in the future. What would that mean to us in the United States? Well, it would mean finally an end to the Cold War between the United States and Cuba. But beyond that, it offers us an opportunity. As we traveled around Havana and got out of the car and bus and walked around, we kept running into Americans. Americans are anxious to visit Cuba. There are tourism opportunities and possibilities that will be part of Cuba's future. Beyond that, though, there are economic opportunities. We had a briefing from the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, who was in Cuba for this briefing, and told us that he thought the Cubans had a unique position to offer, if you can follow this now, organic foods to be sold in the United States. 1% of the organic foods that are consumed in the United States are actually grown here. About 10% of the market is for organic food. Turns out Cuba, because it has not been using chemicals for years, is in a position to move immediately toward growing organic food. And there's quite a market opportunity here in the United States. We can sell them corn, soybeans, rice, meat, and a lot of things that they need. They can sell back organic food that we can use. So there are opportunities for our future. I was glad to be part of this. Proud that the president stepped forward with a new foreign policy. He knew he would run into criticism for it, but he knew it was the right thing to do, and I agree with him. Let me turn it over to my colleague, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos.
All right. Thank you, Senator Durbin, and hello to all the reporters out there. I would say I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Cuba back in October on a trade mission, an agricultural trade mission that was entirely focused on really kind of laying a foundation for Illinois and our family farmers and the ag industry. And so I really saw this trip, at least from a personal perspective, representing my congressional district and Illinois, as a chapter two of that. Among the highlights for me were being able to have a one-on-one time with Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack, and then also sitting in on a briefing that he held with a number of the members who have interest in agriculture. I think my major takeaway is this, that we have a huge trade opportunity when it comes to agriculture. There was a time not too long ago where about 50% of the commodities that were imported to Cuba were from the United States, and now we're down to 10%. It's about a $2 billion a year market, and there is absolutely no reason, as Secretary Vilsack said, there's absolutely no reason that we should not be dominating the market. It's only through the artificial barrier of the embargo that we are not dominating that. And so we have a lot of opportunity here for our family farmers, for the ag industry, and as somebody who represents the Moline, which is the world headquarters for John Deere, and Peoria, which is the world headquarters for Caterpillar, I think there are a lot of opportunities for that, along with having some of the, you know, millions of acres of some of the best farmland in the world right in our state. That is where I see a ton of possibilities and where I'd like to see a lot of progress go from here. There was a businessman who made a statement when we were meeting with some American business leaders down there. And he said, if we don't lift the embargo, we will lose out every single day. And I would see it the exact same way.
Sherry Bustos represents the 17th Congressional District in the state of Illinois. She and U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, both Democrats, were on a press conference earlier today to talk about their recent trip to Cuba with President Obama. Not all lawmakers are in favor of lifting the embargo with Cuba. One of those is Chuck Grassley. He's not impressed, by the way, with the president's efforts to normalize relations with the island nation and says he's even less likely to support the administration push to end the decades-old trade embargo, even if that means more sales of U.S. farm goods to Cuba won't be made.
I'm not in favor of lifting the embargoes until I see more political, economic, and religious freedom in Cuba. And that's what the Cubans have promised. And so far, after maybe 18 months of diplomatic relations with Cuba, the United States has been on the giving end, and we've never been on the taking end.
Grassley argues that even without lifting the embargo, U.S. farm sales in Cuba have increased.
There's already provisions that have even been liberalized beyond what they've been for maybe 10 years for agricultural food to go there along with medicine and pharmaceuticals, medicinal things. So I don't know whether we have to be so concerned just for agriculture.
American Farm Bureau Federation officials argue that until the embargo is lifted, full agricultural trade with Cuba will not be restored, since that takes direct banking relations not permitted with the embargo still in place. The U.S. Treasury Department years ago, in 2000, lifted cash in advance restrictions on agricultural sales to Cuba, and agricultural equipment, seed, and food processing are now exempt from financing restrictions. However, election year politics and strong opposition from the Cuban-American lawmakers are keeping bipartisan legislation to end the embargo from advancing. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market now. Alex Reed is here. He's from the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's their ethanol plant located outside of Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Alex. Thanks so much. I want to talk. I know you take in corn there, but there is an Indiana Anderson's Delphi facility not very far from you that takes in soybeans. It has to compete, I think, with processors. Tell me about the market and whether soybeans have been moving in your part of the world.
Yes, sir. Delphi does take in beans. The processors, like you said, they've been paying up here the last couple weeks, and with the market rally that we've had in beans especially, corn's tried to hang on with it, but beans have been up nearly 50 cents in the last few weeks. And, you know, with that market run-up, a lot of beans were moving, and processor basis kind of faded a little bit, and Delphi hung in there. You know, we get our share of beans that come in, but processors were really paying up for it here the past few weeks.
What do you make of the difference between the rally and the soybeans and the lack of one or thereof in the corn?
It's very, very interesting, that's for sure. I think beans were driven a lot. A lot of it had to do with the bean oil situation. Bean oil kind of took off there, and that drove beans higher. But, you know, it was a lot of technical movement. You know, not sure how much fundamental information is behind it to support it. So we'll see what the, you know, the acres and planting intentions come out next week to see what hangs on or where we go from there.
So you think we'll manage to stay at this 920 level for the Novi beans for the next week or so then?
I'd like to see it. Yeah, that's for certain. I'd like to see some guys take advantage of it, get some sales on. Even if it's the worst sale that they have of the year for some reason, it's not that bad, I don't think, compared to where we have been.
So. And your bids for the day?
Cash corn would be $3.88 and beans would be $8.99.
Hey, thanks so much, Alex.
Thanks, Todd.
Alex Reed is with the Andersons, back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to The Closing Market.
It's National Chip and Dip Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1699, John Bartram was born. An American naturalist and explorer, he is considered the father of American botany. Bartram established a world-renowned botanical garden in Philadelphia in 1728. In 1857, Fanny Merritt Farmer was born. An American culinary authority, she wrote the 1896 edition of the Boston Cooking School Cookbook, which became known in future editions as the Fanny Farmer Cookbook. Farmer was director of the Boston Cooking School and founder of Miss Farmer's School of Cookery, and she is often cited as the first cookbook author to introduce standard measurements. In 1880, John Stevens patented the grain crushing mill. His machine allowed flour production to increase by 70%, making it much more affordable. A barrel of flour crushed by the machine went for $2. Also in 1880, a patent for a glass milk bottle was issued to Warren Glass Works. And in 1912, the Dixie Cup was developed by Lawrence Llewellyn and Hugh Moore. Its original name was the Health Cup, and it changed to the Dixie Cup in 1919. The name came from a line of dolls made by the Dixie Doll Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether out of town or out of time, with Busey's mobile, deposit checks, view balances, and pay people and bills from your device. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd day of March. Drew Lerner is with us from World Weather Incorporated. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast and that great big winter storm, and maybe how that all works into the cold temperatures we had in Kansas, Oklahoma over the weekend, and what wheat stands look like and what we can expect for them in the future.
All right. Well, that's quite a bit. Let's see what we can do. Certainly the Midwest is going to be impacted by this winter storm that's coming out of parts of the High Plains region this afternoon. We're going to see this storm system march across Nebraska, southern portions of South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and a big part of Iowa end up in the Great Lakes region. Now, that's the band of rain changing to snow. Some of the snowfall is going to be real impressive, probably running 8 to 12 inches. It wouldn't be surprising at all to see something even heavier than that. This will be the Iowa-Minnesota border area into central Wisconsin, so it's going to be a fairly significant event to them. And then to the south of the low pressure center, which should track across northern Illinois at some point during the day tomorrow, there will be a band of rain and thunderstorms that will evolve. And some of the thunderstorms could become fairly intense coming up out of the Delta and into Indiana and Ohio and western Kentucky. So those areas could end up with some strong thunderstorms that might produce a quick half to an inch and a half of rain, perhaps. Those inch and a half amounts will be fairly rare, but we will see them. And then, of course, you mentioned the cold out there in the plains, and we will see more cold, by the way, coming up periodically through the weekend with another deep cold surge possible later next week. But over this past weekend, of course, we saw an incredibly incredibly significant fallout in temperatures across Colorado, western Kansas, southwestern Nebraska. These areas fell into the single digits and teens, cold enough to really raise some concern about the crop after all the warm weather that occurred previously. I think most of the crop, though, in that area was suffering from dryness and probably wasn't as far along as people think. We're going to be anxious to see what happens in reproduction this year, but my guess is the majority of that crop was not seriously impacted. Shocked, yes. But production cuts probably not as widespread as we might think.
Can I switch topics with you to El Nino and the transition it needs or can make to La Nina? Where we are in that process, how quick it is happening at this point, I'm sure you've been watching it.
Absolutely, and it is in an accelerated decline right now. The depth of warm water out there in the Pacific Ocean has shrunk from about 300 meters down to about 50 meters. And what I'm talking about is the distance from the surface of the ocean down that's warmer than normal. So a big part of that ocean is cooling from the bottom up. And in the next 3 to 4, maybe 5 weeks, we're going to see a very quick demise. Now, I don't know if demise is the right word, but a quick decline in the El Nino condition. And as we get into the late spring, we'll see neutral ENSO conditions come along, which means that we don't have El Nino or La Nina. And the prospects for seeing La Nina later in the year are still fairly good. The question is will it be late in the summer or next fall? And I think probably fall is probably more likely. And if that's the case, maybe we can get by without an excessively hot summer. But we are going to be watching this very closely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You can hear him anytime you'd like on our website at WILL.org.